One of the things that gets in our way of everything that we do are thoughts. Something will happen and a thought will come up. And, you know, when you think about it, that may be okay. But when the thought comes, we start thinking about it. And the scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we're going to become the sum of all of what we're thinking about. That's why people misunderstand. That's one of the reasons why people misunderstand. Because they're not hearing your words. They're hearing words based on how they are thinking. If I'm upset, and you can ask Pastor Eddie, he can confirm it, and he'll try and tell me something, forget it. I see everything through the eyes of a raging bull because I'm annoyed. And I need to wait and calm down and get my thoughts right so I can really hear what's being shared with me, so I can really hear what's being said. We miss things because we get so emotional, we don't settle our thoughts so that we can really understand what's going on. That's why, look in Romans 12. I'm sorry, Dan, I just rolled right in. Romans 12:2, God's Word translation, says, don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think. Then you will always be able to determine what God really wants, what is good and pleasing and perfect. So if I'm not mindful of my thoughts, if I don't change my thoughts and cause them to get in line, I'm never going to know what God's perfect will is. You know why? I'll be too concerned with what I'm thinking about. And I'm going to become very emotional about what I'm thinking about because I'm thinking about it. And it's important to me. Well, if it's important to you, it's important to God. But He still has the plan for you to handle whatever that thing is that you're thinking about. If you would just go to Him and ask Him and tell Him, I am very honest with my father. If I don't like it, I tell him, I don't like this. If I want to do something dumb because of it, I tell him, I want to do something dumb. Hey, he knows anyway. And I tell him, Father, I know I shouldn't be thinking like this, but I am, and I need some help. Yes. I mean, that's because I want to think the right thoughts, because as long as I'm thinking the right thoughts, everything will work out, but if I'm not, everything won't. They just won't. That's why, folks, I was thinking about thoughts, and most of you know how I am. I'll look things up, and I'll spend hours researching things. Sometimes to my detriment, I take too long, and I get to bed too early in the morning. But according to the Laboratory of Neuroimaging, at the University of Southern California, the average person, listen to this, has 48.6 thoughts per minute. How many of you are average people? Okay. 48.6 thoughts per minute. That adds up to a total of 70,000 thoughts a day. 70,000. And you know, me, I'll just take one source or I'll look for another one. Well, Psychology Today, they estimated that an average brain, how many of us at least have average brains? Okay, how many have super average brain? Okay, thank you. Well, if the average brain has anywhere from 25,000 to 50,000 thoughts a day, then how much more do you have super average brains? But this stunned me. 70% of those thoughts are believed to be negative. of the thoughts that come through our head are negative. Who does he think he is? And we do it in ways that we're not even mindful of. I never did it, and I know no one here does it now, but some probably used to. They used to watch soap operas, and they have some thoughts about the characters. And have long discussions about it. And these are actors. Those of us who are watching sports, watching football games and basketball games, we have some thoughts about the players. They're professionals. They can buy and sell us, you know, probably 100,000 times over. And we say, they're stupid. They have the contract. And we won't talk about the folks that are in the movies and start talking to the screen. Because you have thoughts about what's going on. And we don't realize most. If you didn't know whether it was going to be me or Pastor Red up here ministering, and you came in and you saw me, one of the thoughts was, we're going to be here a while. Am I telling the truth? You don't know what's going to be the day when the Holy Ghost is going to let you go at 12:30. Somebody say, I'd love 12:30. No, but that thought will come, and that thought can affect how you hear. Because see, one of the things that folks tell you don't do when you're in a meeting room, you don't put clocks in front of the room. But you're looking, and I'll say, one more thing, and you look, I see the eyes turn toward the clock. In the sanctuary, it was funny because you had to turn around and look. Here, I see some get up and peek over and say, oh, good, he only has 3 minutes left. Then a thought will come, he doesn't pay attention to that anyway. No, but thoughts just come, and you don't have any control over it. Something's going to happen, and a thought is going to come. And once that thought comes, you know what you're going to do? Start thinking about it. Start thinking about it. And because thoughts are so influential, God gave us some very good advice concerning our thoughts. Look at 2 Corinthians 10. See, the reason we're talking about this is too many of us think that the reason we're going through stuff is because we've done something wrong. You know, somehow we may have missed God. But the scriptures says that all who worship passionately will suffer persecution. Will. But see, the persecution comes to get you to think about it so that you change your thoughts about who you are in Christ and about what your mission is as a child of the Most High God. So we need to understand what's happening. We need to understand the strategies and so that we can implement them. 2 Corinthians 10, I want to get to verse 5, but I'll start at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Here it is. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing, listen to this carefully, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It didn't say some thoughts. It didn't say bad thoughts. It said every thought. Now, you know what every means. Is there anything left out of every? No. So that means every thought that you think throughout the day, all 70,000 of them, you have to hold captive. Not forever. It says they become obedient to Christ. That means you have to analyze that thought. Now, something interesting happened to me last week, and again this week, is that while I was working on my computer, the computer started becoming very, very sluggish and acted like it didn't want to work. And my thought was, lay hands on it with a hammer and work off the iPad. How many of you know that was not a good thought? But I ran a virus scan, and at first, in thinking about it, like, why do I need to run a virus scan? This says real time. So if anything happened, it should have notified me. But I ran the quick scan, and everything was fine. But I said, I think I need to go deeper than the quick scan. So I ran the full scan, which takes about 90 minutes. It had two viruses. Two viruses. And then it asked me a question. It said, do you want to resolve? I'm like, duh. Yes, I want to resolve. Well, it gave me a choice. It said, you can destroy it or you can quarantine it. First time I said destroy. And it destroyed, I rebooted, I'm working. Then it slowed down again. I ran a scan, it came back. I'm like, what in the world is this? So this time I pulled out my iPad and I started reading about viruses and the difference between destroying and quarantining. And in very, very loose terms, when a virus is quarantined, it's put into an area where it cannot affect anything. And it allows time for your system and you to determine, is this harmful? Because sometimes it's not a virus, it's just something different, and the computer hasn't figured out what it is, so it says, let me just put this over here. You know, kind of like what we say when we hear a word and we're not sure if we agree with it, put it on the shelf, put it into quarantine until you and the Holy Ghost work it out. But I put it into quarantine, and it'll stay in quarantine until I determine, yes, this is okay. I can either let it go back or not, or I can choose not to. When God says to capture every thought, we're supposed to take those thoughts and put them into quarantine and find out what their intent is. You have to find out, what does this thought desire? Is it designed to cause havoc? Or is it designed to make things easier? Will this thought cause me to line up with what God has been speaking? Or will it cause me to go in another way? Will this thought just gum up the works? Just mess up everything. Just again, everything the devil does is designed to make us stop. The Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. He didn't say, I fought the good fight and I won. He didn't say that. Because it ain't about winning. It's about finishing. When we finish, we've won. Yes. See, we look at winning in terms of I came in first, I came in third, I came in 6,852. You know, no. Did you finish the race? Yes, you won. We concern ourselves with victory, and when you look at what God's word says, you wonder why. Because in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 in the King James Version, it says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." Always. Always. So why are we concerned about winning when we are always caused to triumph? So that means we always win. No, actually what it means is we've already won. All we have to do to be declared victorious is to finish. Hence, the thoughts come into play. When you're running long distance, how many of you saw the movie Overcomer? I'm not going to ask how many saw it more than five times. I know. There was one scene where it said, your legs are going to start to hurt. Ignore them. Why do you think the legs started to hurt? The body wanted her to stop. The body said, I've had enough. Okay? I've had enough. We're running against a three-time world champion. Nobody comes close to beating her. I'm going to stop. And her father told her, don't listen to them. Push through it. Keep going. I like it. He said, now my daughter, run her down. What his purpose was, or it says his purpose was to keep her thoughts in check. Because he would say things. This is the time when most people slow down, but not you. You speed up and pass her on the hill. That's like in track and field. You don't pass anyone on the turn. Right? Anybody a former track and field runner? Well, when you pass someone on the turn, you have to run twice as far and twice as fast. So you wait till the straightaway. But some folks get out there and they pass on the turn. And your opponent, sometimes they see you passing on the turn and they get cocky because they figure, oh, they're not going to have any gas left for the finish. But you surprise them because, you know, our opponent is the enemy. He thinks we're not going to finish. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. But it's all about what we're thinking. I found out personally that the scripture is true. As I think in my heart, that's who I become. If I'm thinking wrong, my personality will change. And don't think for a moment, not Pastor Greg, yes, Pastor Greg. If we are meditating, thank you, Lord, on 1 Corinthians 13, that will help us keep the right thoughts about everything. Because we'll be rooted and grounded in love. That's who we'll be. That's what we'll be thinking about in our hearts. So any thought that comes in that doesn't line up with that, guess what we're going to do with it? It goes from quarantine and then destroy. Because there's some things that I don't want lurking around inside my body. But when I put them in quarantine, and I hold it hostage and make it obey Christ, it can't hurt me. Because where do thoughts come? Where do you think that these bad thoughts come from? What do you think? It's not a trick question. It comes from the enemy. Well, Luke told us that Jesus said, I've given you power over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And you know, I'm going to what the Amplified Bible says, physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses. All of it. So that means when that thought comes, I have the right, I have the authority, I have the spiritual power to capture it and find out what is this thing that's trying to come into my head. And this happens. This isn't a process, folks, where you sit down for 3-4 hours and try and figure this out. This is happening in I don't know what the fastest form of time is, you know, the millisecond, nanosecond, or nanomilli, whatever it is. It's quick. You're processing these things every moment of every single day. Thoughts are coming in. Even to me, I'm in front of you. I'll look at someone and a thought may come in. They're not getting it. And I have to disregard that and just keep going with what God's telling me. Because I have to stay focused on him, because he has this habit of changing messages midstream. And that's fine with me as long as my thinking is in line with his thoughts for you today, at this moment. Last year was a challenging year for the ministry. You know, members went through a lot. We've had several members transition to heaven. And people had thoughts as to why it happened. They had thoughts. The thoughts came up about the ministry, about the pastors, about whether God is still with RLCC or not. All these thoughts came up. Because the enemy wants people to stop. He wants you to stop coming. He wants you to think, if this word stuff worked, why did this happen to this person? Great person of God. It came to make you stop. That's the time you capture that thought. Put it into quarantine. God gave me pastors after his own heart. God sent me. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. It feels like every area of my life is under attack. Feels like it. And sometimes, you know, you get to the point where you want to crawl up into a ball and just cry. But I have to take those thoughts and put them into quarantine, because if I don't, I'll stop. I will think myself out of it. Because it'll be logical. It will make sense. After all, you know, does God know that doing his will is going to cause all these, you know, hardships and all this other stuff? Yes, he does. And he already told me about that in his word. He told all of that, all of us that. And he said, did it happen to Jesus? Servant is not greater than his master. So we have to, it's not that, we can't stop the thoughts from coming. Don't damage your faith trying to pray away thoughts. They're going to come. Pray for the wisdom with how to quarantine them. So that you won't let them, you won't be ruled by evil thoughts. You don't want to be ruled by any thought. You want to be led by the Holy Ghost. In spite of your thoughts. In spite of your thoughts. When the devil tempted you, when Satan tempted Jesus over in Luke 4, and Jesus was hungry. Jesus was probably thinking, I'm hungry. But when the devil presented him with an opportunity to turn the stone into bread, the Bible says Jesus was tempted in all ways, just like we are. Which tells me that there had to be a thought that said, yeah, do it, and you won't be hungry anymore. He had to quarantine that thought and speak what his father already wrote. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Period. And the devil came at him a second time. And I know I told you this before, but I need to repeat it. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. And guess what? Satan didn't get behind him. The Bible says he took him up to a high place. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. And Satan would say, oops, let me get behind him. I'm not saying anything else. No, he took him to another. He continued with the temptation. Why am I telling you that? Because thoughts are going to come. Circumstances and situations are going to come. You're going to speak to it. And it's going to act like it doesn't hear you. And you're going to get frustrated. Maybe I don't have enough faith. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. No, you're not doing anything wrong. It's trying to play a mind game with you. Jesus had to endure every temptation the devil wanted to bring, and then the devil gave up. Said when he had gone through all his temptations, he left for a season. Didn't say he left and forever and was never more going to come. He left for a season. What is he doing during that season? He's watching you. He's listening to the words coming out of your mouth. And he's saying, I think they're getting ripe now. And they'll come back and try something else. 70,000 thoughts a day, 70% of which are negative. I mean, that when you try and think that through, but let me give you a very good strategy. And then I'm going to let you go. I heard that thought. I'll believe it when I see it. No, I'm serious. When I was sitting here during praise and worship, God said to me, he said, I'm not keeping you long today. I'm like, okay. I've learned that needs to be the response. Yes. See, all 70,000 thoughts don't need to survive. Okay. Some of them need to be destroyed. But here's, we need to know how to determine if this thought needs to be quarantined forever, or if it can go out into the population, so to speak. Okay. So look at Philippians 4. Because, like I said, thoughts cause you to think. And what you think will dictate your behavior. It'll dictate what you do. It'll dictate what you say. It'll dictate how you hear. So God said, capture every thought. One translation says, and make it obey Christ. So you say, you may be an average brain, but you're in a spiritual body, and you will obey Christ. But here's your measuring stick. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So when that thought comes, you need to look at, I'm going to read it in a passion where it adds to, but there are 8 different characteristics here that we need to see if our thoughts comply with them, and it has to comply with all eight. We can't look, because there are things that are true that are not just. There are things that are true, but they're not just. There are things that are lovely, but they're not good. We need to have it all. When does a thought, when is it that your thought does not have to have virtue? I don't want any thoughts that are not virtuous. I don't want any, if the thought isn't praiseworthy, what is it? Look at the Passion Translation. Or if you don't have it, I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. Philippians 4, verse 8. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. Always fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. That's how we see if our thoughts are lining up. That's how we see if what we're thinking about lines up with God's thoughts. If our thinking illustrates or demonstrates that we have the mind of Christ. Because that's what the Word tells us. But we have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ captures thoughts. Every thought. The mind of Christ quarantines any thought that doesn't line up with what God has said. We have the mind of Christ. Tell your neighbor, you have the mind of Christ. So you can capture any thoughts. Say, Pastor Greg just took away all your excuses. Go on, you didn't say it. Go ahead. Thing, I don't want to say that. Whatever the number of thoughts you have, folks, whatever it is, God will never allow you to be so overrun with thoughts that you won't be able to handle them. Because He said He will not allow us to be tempted above that which we're able, but will, with the temptation, give us a way of escape. Now, for some of us, where's my feedback level, Dan? Can I move over here? Feet right here? Okay. I won't go any further. Pierre, would you help me for a minute? Pierre? That's all right. He's not. But if Pierre was an evil thought that was trying to attack me, okay. And I have all these other thoughts I'm dealing with, but this one would put me over. God's going to give me a way of escape. And a way of escape, if Pierre is me and I'm the bad thought, the way of escape is just walk out the door. You can come right back in. No, but just walk all the way through the door. I'll stop right there. You don't have to stay in the presence of an evil thought.
That's right. That's right.
You can leave. You don't have to stand in the presence of someone who's just murmuring and running their mouth about different things that are going to cause you to think differently about who you are and what God told you to do. You can just leave unceremoniously. Don't leave and say, you bitter thought, I'm getting away from you. No, just say, go. Thank you, Pierre. You come back in. You just leave. Don't stay there. Don't entertain. Pastor Clinton said when the enemy shows up, don't invite him in for coffee. Come in and say, come on, let's have a latte while we discuss this. No, you latte yourself out. So whatever number of thoughts, whatever they may be, you have a way of escape. you do not have to entertain thoughts. When I quarantined that virus, I went back to work. I didn't think about it anymore, because it had already taken up enough of my time. It's already caused enough issues for me. And once I identified what it was, quarantine. And it can stay there forever. I decide when I want to deal with it, or if I want to deal with it. And it's the same way with every thought that comes into your head. God said, I know the thoughts that I have for you. You looked it up, you're saying, I know the thoughts that I'm thinking about you. Because the thought will come and you'll start thinking about it. And you'll start putting breath to it and limbs, you know, and substance. And the next thing you know, you're right in the midst of something, you're wondering, how did this happen? It started with a thought that you didn't quarantine. So quarantine every thought and make sure before you release it that it's going to obey Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to let you go. Folks, things are going to keep happening. They're going to... You cannot pray away persecution. That's like trying to pray away storms. No, you go through the storm. You go through the temptation. You go through the challenge. The thief comes. The thief cometh. And his intentions are to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, this is a classic. Jesus said, I've come so that you have life and have it more abundantly. So when a thief comes, your thoughts say, this is it. The Bible said the thief is going to come. And he gonna steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah, but my Jesus came so I have life and have it more abundantly. So I don't have to put up my ADT sign. I'm a walking version of the Exodus. I have the blood on me. So the destroyer can't come near me. Or any of my stuff, because it's all covered by the blood. Think on that. I'm done. No, I am. Thank you. Ma'am? No, I'm good. Unless you feel led to. Oh. See, did you capture that thought? Okay, I'm going to have to extend this another 14 minutes. No. No, because then you'll be me and not the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You understand, folks? We have to pay attention to the thoughts that we allow to take up space in our thinking, in our brains. And God gave us, if God told us to do it, he equipped us to do it. So if he says capture every thought, we can capture every thought. No renegade thoughts. Amen?